Welcome to The Debate. This is another episode of Read Along on Noster, where we're digging into, well, the whirlwind that Hicks finds himself in during chapters 5 through 10.
Yeah, it's quite a shift. He starts off with what seems like a pretty standard case, you know, stolen papers, some local toughs.
Right, and then suddenly it spirals. We've got disappearing objects, these hints of deep international conspiracies, even, well, supernatural stuff. The whole nature of the danger around him has definitely escalated.
Absolutely. It's completely changed the game, which really makes you wonder, what's the real danger here? What's the most critical threat he's actually facing right now?
Exactly. And that brings us to our central question for today. Looking at everything that's happened in these chapters, is the biggest threat to Hicks and the people around him the immediate physical danger from traditional organized crime, you know, gangsters, corrupt cops, or is it this more pervasive, hidden menace, the organized political and, frankly, occult conspiracy stuff like the U-13 submarine or those nationalist cells? Today, I'm going to argue that these hidden, systemic, conspiratorial threats are actually the most consequential because they're fundamentally changing the rules of his world.
Okay. And I'm going to take the position that, well, the danger that truly matters, the one Hicks has to deal with minute to minute, is the immediate, physical, and actionable kind. You know, the conspiracies are definitely there. They make for a fascinating backdrop, maybe more than a backdrop. But the critical danger, that comes directly from the local guys with guns, the outfit, and the corrupt legal system that can put him away or put him in the ground tomorrow.
See, I think if we only focus on the punch in the face, we risk missing the earthquake happening underneath. The book makes it pretty clear early on, especially in these chapters, that physical laws aren't exactly reliable anymore. Take Hicks's meeting with Thalassi, his sap, his beaver tail weapon. It just vanishes, mid-swing, poof, and then it reappears later. Thalassi, who seems to understand this stuff, calls it an asport or a port. Some kind of, well, non-rational object movement. She even links it to the grace of God, or at least some unseen force actively messing with things. Now that's a deeper threat than just a thug, isn't it? If reality itself is unreliable, how can you even operate? And this isn't just localized weirdness. The danger is clearly global, deeply hidden, often behind a very normal-looking front. Uncle Lefty spells it out. These Kaiser Bill guerrilla units, German youth loyalists, just waiting for the signal. And they're using the new Nuremberg lanes, this fancy new bowling alley, as a cover. A Nazi front. Then there's the biggest reveal. The U-13, an actual unsurrendered Austro-Hungarian submarine. Drover, the science kid, confirms it. Operating right there in Lake Michigan. Think about that. That implies high-level organized evasion of the Versailles Treaty, international law. It's way beyond local crime.
Okay, the metaphysics are, yeah, they're definitely unsettling. But even if gravity takes a break now and then, the consequences Hicks faces, the things that can actually end his story right now, they come from very terrestrial, very violent sources. The threat is immediate. It's physical. Why does Hicks learn the Curly Bill spin from Lubasnight? Because he needs to physically defend himself now, not against, you know, philosophical threats, but against guys trying to hurt him. Like Basnight says, real only matters when they're shooting at you. And look who they are shooting at him or threatening to. Hicks and April Rondaggio are smack in the middle of old school organized crime danger. April's the promised bride of Don Peppino Infernacci, a major outfit player. Hicks gets into it directly with Peppino's torpedoes. Remember Dominic getting slammed into the partition? He gets physical warnings from guys like Angie Von Von Voltaggio. These aren't abstract threats. They're happening right now. But honestly, the most dangerous threat, the one with the heaviest consequences, it's the state turning against him. Federal agent Vic Durbo, he's violent, reckless. Everyone knows he's on the take. Throws pool balls at mirrors for crying out loud. And crucially, Uncle Lefty tells Hicks straight up, they're trying to hang this Stuffy Keegan bomb on you. That's the truck bombing Stuffy was mixed up in. So the immediate threat is being framed by corrupt feds. That's a fast track to prison or worse. That's state power aimed right at him. That feels pretty tangible to me.
I'm still not sure we can neatly separate that state corruption from the bigger picture. But all right, let's talk about Stuffy Keegan's vanishing act, because that really sits at the crossroads, doesn't it, between the outfit and this higher-level conspiracy. Stuffy taking off on the U-13, that's not just skipping bail. He's plugging into an illegal international operation designed to operate outside global treaties, outside normal jurisdiction. I mean, his final message, sent via Morse code from under the ice, "Now you're all up to speed, suckers." That's coming from inside a sophisticated, almost state-level evasion machine. It's not your average getaway car. And what Fancy Vivid says about Stuffy wanting a cruise to salvation, that suggests something more. Existential, maybe? Not just dodging the outfit.
The U-13 itself feels like it represents something bigger. A way out, maybe? But a way out connected to this hidden, highly resourced, patient conspiracy that thumbs its nose at international law.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's sophisticated. I'll grant you that. The U-13 is impressive tech, operating where it shouldn't be. But sophistication doesn't change its core purpose, does it? I still see it as fundamentally a criminal operation, just, you know, scaled up. Drover tells us exactly what it's for. Running contraband. Tobacco, dope, guns, hooch, live passengers. That sounds like crime to me. Market-driven crime. It's basically Don Pepino's business model, just with better equipment and maybe a different flag. And remember, the outfit was already linked to the Stuffy Keegan bombing. So whether Stuffy leaves on a sub or a train, he's still running from the same people. Rival criminals and the feds chasing him for that very tangible bombing. Let's just talk efficacy for a second. What actually happens to Hicks because of these threats? Well, he gets physically assaulted by Dominic. He nearly gets his head taken off by one of Durbaugh's pool balls. And most critically, like I said, he's actively being framed for the Keegan bombing. Uncle Lefty confirmed it. That's immediate. It's actionable. It threatens his life, his liberty right now. He has to worry about the cops showing up, about Pepino's guys finding him. That's the real life stuff Lou Basnight warned him about. The hidden conspiracies, yeah, they're worrying, but they feel like a problem for, you know, next week. The framing is a problem for tomorrow morning's newspaper.
But isn't it possible, likely even, that the visible violence, the framing attempt, serves the deeper conspiracy? It feels like a smokescreen. I'd argue the systemic threat is more dangerous because it uses these tools, organized crime, corrupt cops, as its frontline soldiers. Think about the new Nuremberg lanes again. Ulrich, Hicks's old contact, basically says these Nazis are just pretending to bowl, socializing. But they're the real deal National Socialists, remnants of Goh's German nationalist units Lefty mentioned. They're hiding in plain sight, using this wholesome activity as cover. That points to a patient, long-term strategy, doesn't it? A systemic threat? And crucially, look at the feds. Durbo and his crew. They're so obviously crooked, so reckless, and they seem weirdly connected to people like Uncle Lefty. Hicks himself senses this connection.
What if the line between the corrupt feds and the political conspiracy isn't just blurred? What if it's, well, non-existent?
If the state's power is already being used by these hidden groups to create chaos and frame people like Hicks, then the systemic threat commanding that power is far more dangerous than just street gangs. The local corruption could just be the symptom, the visible part of the infection.
That's a dark way to look at Durbo, that he's maybe not just corrupt, but a willing part of something bigger. Okay. Still, though, his power, however he got it, is exercised physically, immediately. He's dangerous because he can misuse the existing power of the state today, using warrants and badges and the threat of prison to ruin Hicks's life. The global conspiracy, the Nazis, the U-13, they seem to be playing a longer game, right? Planning for some future event. Hicks needs to worry about surviving Don Pepino's hitmen or Durbo's frame-up first. If he doesn't, he won't be around long enough to worry about the U-boat's ultimate mission. The immediate danger has to take priority.
Okay. Let's pivot to the occult for a second, because that element really throws a wrench into any idea of predictable, localized threats. It fundamentally destabilizes things. Thessaly, who gets how objects hold memory, how they're open to every vibration, she charges Hicks $10, $10. That's real money. It tells you this whole Asport and Apport thing, the disappearing sap, isn't just some, you know, metaphor or bit of spooky atmosphere. It's treated as a concrete, expensive reality in this world. It's part of how things actually work. And think about Hicks's dream in the old haunted jailhouse, Chapter 9. That dream specifically hints, maybe more than hints, that a trusted ally, Stuffy, is going to let him down, right before Stuffy does exactly that by taking off on the U-13. That suggests there's this other level, this non-rational plane of reality, that's maybe dictating events, or at least revealing them ahead of time, revealing truths the everyday underworld can't see. The foundational threat, maybe, is that this world runs on rules Hicks can't fight with a gun or a clever move. How do you defend against that?
I see the significance. I really do. The occult stuff adds this incredible layer, this deep strangeness to everything. But I'm still not sold that it's the core threat to Hicks's survival or his freedom. The mind reading, the vanishing objects, yeah, they're unsettling, definitely part of the chaos. But do they drive the main high-stakes conflict? Look at April Randazzo again. Her situation is what's pushing Hicks forward, right? And Vum Vum's explanation for why she's stuck with Don Pepino, it's brutally simple. Purely terrestrial power politics. Pepino has the biggest mingyatza in the criminal trades, the most clout, the biggest organization. That's raw power. Hicks gets that. It's useful information to him. The tragedy of April, her being trapped, it feels like it's driven by gangster influence and human corruption, not by ghosts moving objects around. Hicks knows he has to figure out how to deal with Pepino's guys.
He has absolutely no idea how to fight the grace of God, assuming that's even what it is. So the tangible threat is the one demanding his immediate attention, his resources.
But if those occult forces can predict betrayals and move key objects around, aren't they, in a functional sense, more powerful than Pepino's crew? They seem to be manipulating the stage on which the whole drama plays out.
Perhaps. But wrapping up my side, look, while the U-13 and the new Nuremberg lanes are genuinely disturbing, they open up this whole other layer. But the chapters themselves show us Hicks's most urgent life or death problem, staying alive, protecting April, staying out of jail, are dictated by the physical actions of people he can actually see and fight or run from. His freedom is immediately on the line because of guys like Durbout, whose frame up is happening now. He has to deal with the tangible fallout of organized crime and corruption before he can afford to worry too much about the submarine's final destination.
And I'll summarize by saying, okay, the criminal threats are real, they're dangerous, but they feel like the known hazards. The real game changer in these chapters, the source of true instability for Hicks, comes from these unseen, globally organized forces. The breakdown of physical laws, the patient political conspiracies hiding in plain sight, that mysterious U-boat defying international treaties. These things suggest the entire ground beneath the criminal underworld is shifting. It's moving towards something bigger, a political, maybe even a cult conflict. And that hidden systemic threat, I argue, is the most consequential one in the long view.
Yeah, I think regardless of which you see as primary, the book makes it crystal clear. Hicks is caught in this incredibly unstable mix where, you know, brutal real-life violence and these almost religious-level revelations are just constantly crashing into each other.
Exactly. And that constant crash is, well, it's giving us plenty to talk about as we keep reading.